I'm glad you've joined us again for this daily discussion of the great questions of life and death from the point of view of the Bible. If there is one thing that can be predicted with complete accuracy, it is that we're all of us going to die. It's only common sense, then, that we should be properly informed about what God in His Scriptures has revealed about death and what prospects we may have of living again and living forever. As I script these programs, I find myself being excited again about the beauty and simplicity of what Scripture has to say about those all-important questions that affect each one of us equally. What is your destiny? Who are you as a human being? What is death? And how can you live again after you die? I wonder if you knew that some people actually thought they could survive death by being put into a special deep freeze for corpses. According to this experiment, their dead bodies would be subjected to sub-zero temperatures when they died, and they would die in the hope of being unfrozen and revived at a later date. I fear that that procedure is doomed to fail. The relatives of those people are going to be badly disappointed. They will have wasted time and money. There's a much more sensible way to go about finding out how to conquer death. The Bible holds out one and only one way for men and women to live forever. Resurrection and life forever are gifts that only a good God can bestow, and He's going to do it on His own terms and in His own good time. That is one of the great basic themes of our Bibles, how God intends to confer immortality on those who love and serve Him and His Son, Jesus Christ. We've been looking at various passages of the Bible to establish a number of very clear facts. One of these is that, contrary to a good deal of popular opinion, the Bible does not say that we have an immortal soul which can go on living a conscious existence the moment we die. It's surprising how deep-seated some of our religious traditions are. Very frequently we hear about heaven, or going to heaven, as the destiny of Christians. I wonder if you ever stopped to subject that idea to a careful examination in the Bible. I invite you to do that sometime. It can be a most fascinating and rewarding study. In later programs, we will look at that issue in more detail, but for the moment, try rereading Matthew, Mark, and Luke with this particular question in mind. How did Jesus refer to the Christian goal? What did He see as our target, our ultimate destiny? Does He talk about souls going to heaven when they die? How is it that a distinguished British theologian could have written in this century that, and I quote, "Heaven, in the Bible, is never the destination of the dying"? I think you may find that Jesus has a very clear way of talking about our future hope of living forever. His idea of a glorious future for you is summed up under the concept of the kingdom of God. But we will talk more about the kingdom of God in later programs. For the moment, our first conclusion has been that man is not an immortal soul dwelling in a material body. Rather, he's a whole person who is subject to death. Both body and soul are mortal, subject to death. And our second conclusion, death is compared throughout the Bible to sleeping in unconsciousness. Let me start today by bringing you some thoughts from the Bible book of Ecclesiastes. This passage of Scripture strikes me as a valuable piece of instruction as we all make our way along the journey of life. Listen to these practical words from the Bible. The writer is not afraid to face the facts of life and death. Here's what he said as he reflected, sometimes somewhat humorously, on life and death. "It's a wonderful thing to be alive. If a person lives to be very old, let him rejoice in every day of life, but let him also remember that eternity is far longer. Young man, it's wonderful to be young. Enjoy every minute of it. Do all you want to do. Take in everything, but realize that you must account to God for everything you do. So banish grief and pain, but remember that youth, with a whole life before it, can make serious mistakes. Don't let the excitement of being young cause you to forget about your Creator. Honor Him in your youth before the evil years come, when you will no longer enjoy living. It will be too late then to try to remember Him when the sun and light and moon and stars are dim to your old eyes and there's no silver lining left among your clouds. For there will come a time when your limbs will tremble with age and your strong legs will become weak and your teeth will be too few to do their work and there will be blindness too. Then your lips will be tightly closed while eating when your teeth are gone, and you will waken at dawn with the first note of the birds, but you yourself will be deaf and tuneless with a quavering voice. You'll be afraid of heights and of falling, a white-haired, withered old man, dragging himself along, without sexual desire, standing at death's door, nearing his permanent home, as the mourners go along the street. Yes, remember your Creator now, while you are young, before the silver cord of life snaps, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. I was reading there from a modern translation of the biblical book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11, verse 9 to chapter 12, verse 7. I think you'll agree that this is an excellent practical piece of advice for young and old. You notice the verse which speaks of us as on our way to our permanent home. That, of course, is a reference to the grave. Because this book of the Bible, Ecclesiastes, is mainly concerned with this life and the death which follows it. Other books of the Bible have much more to say about our hope of being delivered from death later, but that deliverance is always by way of resurrection, the resurrection of the whole person. This gives me an opportunity to mention the seventh verse of Ecclesiastes 12. The dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Christians often do not realize how strongly they have been influenced by the non-biblical idea that there's a part of man which survives consciously after the body has ceased to function. Many people unwittingly read the Bible as though it was based on Plato's idea of the nature of man. They suppose that man has an immortal part of him which is actually the real him, and they think that that immortal part cannot die. They're convinced that the immortal soul or spirit just goes on living consciously in another dimension. Now, there are a lot of scholars of the Bible who know that this is not the right way to understand who man is from a biblical point of view. They point out that in the Bible, man is a whole being, body and soul together. When man dies, the whole man dies and lies unconscious in the grave. What returns to God is the life-giving energy which sustained his life when he was alive. When that spirit of life is removed, we are dead, completely dead, dead as the proverbial doornail. There's no immortal soul in us which can go marching on. The Bible simply does not know the language of never-dying souls. That idea comes from pagan philosophy. We really need a revolution in our thinking on these matters. Scripture nowhere says that we have a never-dying soul which is housed in our body. Death does not mean moving house immediately to another location. It does not mean getting rid of our bodies so that the real you can go on living as a disembodied spirit. In fact, the Bible does not speak of human persons as disembodied spirits at all. Let me be a little provocative here and suggest that the following is not the right way to teach children about what happens when we die. When we die, we leave our bodies behind because they're of no use to us, and we take what is really important, the real you and me, with us. Our real selves go to heaven. That really does not represent the Bible at all accurately. Because in the very book of Ecclesiastes which we're studying, we find that the dead do not know anything, and that there is absolutely zero activity in death. You'll find those passages in Ecclesiastes 9, verses 5 and 10. Then we read in the Psalms that David expressed the view that the dead in the grave cannot praise God. In Psalm 115, verse 17, David repeated the same teaching, "The dead do not praise God, nor any who go down into silence." We see from these important Bible verses the simple fact that the dead go down into the grave, that they do not go up into heaven. Jesus said plainly in around 30 AD, "No one has ascended into heaven," John 3:13. "Ah, but since that time they have," you may say. But where is the solid biblical proof that anyone but Jesus has gone to heaven as a disembodied soul or spirit at death? A leading British theologian of this century says this: heaven in the Bible is nowhere the destination of the dying. He complained that when we read passages about the resurrection at funeral services, we give the false impression that the dead have already been made alive. A famous American theologian, George Ladd, tried hard to teach us to rethink our understanding of death. He said, "Paul never thinks of the salvation of the soul apart from the body. Neither man's soul nor spirit is viewed as an immortal part of him which survives death." The biblical word soul, said George Ladd, is practically the same as the word person, there's no thought of an immortal soul existing after death. End of quotation. Those were the words of George Ladd, well known for his many books on the great issues of life and death and the future of the world. It may be that some of this material is new to you. We invite you to follow our daily examination of the great questions about the destiny of man and what the Bible has to say about death and the afterlife, and also what it says about how we may acquire immortality and live forever. Our object in these programs is to cast our searchlight on the Bible in pursuit of answers to the great questions of life and death. These are matters which face all of us equally. We really need to be informed. Contact us at the telephone number given at the end of this program. We have some free literature we would like to send to you for your own personal study. Meanwhile, join us again as we continue our discussion of the great issues of life and death. Until then, may God bless you in your search for truth.